looking at this verse here, it says, what do we notice? It says false teachers. False teachers are going to come. This is real simple. This is like, you know, Jane, see the ball. It's just real simple. If he says these are false teachers, obviously he's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to who? The church. These are inside of us. These are what he said, even as there were false prophets then, now the mirror of that is this. There's going to be false teachers in the modern era that is going to be propagating this false teaching. And it says here that they shall bring in damnable heresy. The word damnable here means this in the Greek. It means ruin or loss, physically, spiritually, or eternally. Damnable, destruction, die, perdition, perish, pernicious, ways, waste. He says here they'll bring in damnable heresy. The word heresy means this in the Greek. The word means a special, it means properly, a choice, for example, especially a party, or abstractly, disunion. In other words, these men will bring in a disunion, which Peter describes as a damnable heresy. Now, heresy, I always just related to something that was false teaching, just something falsely said according to the Word of God. But here the actual Greek definition means a sect or a separated party. Someone that will teach something that will separate and split the body of Christ. Now, folks, there has come a separation to the body of Christ, whether you know it or not, or whether I know it or not. And in fact, I will tell you this. I'm preaching most of all this through documentation that I have read and through a knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given me by the Word of God. I don't sit around and listen to these guys. And I'll be honest, in a certain fact, in a certain truth, I live in a bubble. I really do. My bubble is I listen to Homer. I listen to Gary Carpenter. I listen to Jim Martin. There are other men at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa, Nathan, Alan Taylor. I listen to these guys. These guys are kind of the bubble that if I'm listening to somebody, Homer told me on that road trip, he said, Pastor, I just listened to some of these guys on the radio. He goes, we're in trouble. He goes, we're in trouble because if we keep teaching what we're teaching is so diverse, there's going to be some persecution once they start hearing what we're saying, basically. It's really that, it's that dividing. Now, I live in a bubble. I don't really watch much Christian TV. I don't really watch any of it. And I really don't listen to these guys. Do I know what I'm talking about? Yes, because I've read their exact quotes from their sermons and from their books. So I know what they're saying. I can show you, yep, on this such and such time or when they wrote this, that's what they teach and that's what they believe. How would I know if they ever repent? Well, God will get that away. You know, he's got a way. People start saying, did you hear what so-and-so said? They're recanting all of... I pray that happens. When that happens, I'm going to mention their name again and say, praise God. They recanted. They went back and taught Scripture. I hope and pray that happens. But I live in a bubble. I suggest that you live in a bubble. I suggest that you live in a safety of don't be experimenting. Your experimentation may blow up on you. It will blow up on you if you stay in it very long. So heresy, this damnable heresy, is separating the body of Christ. This scripture here is foretelling of something that is already taking place. And there's more to identify. And as we go into it this week and next week, there'll be more to say, that's 2017. That's today's paper. Okay. It says here, and they will bring in, says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, Gary taught on this. I love the way he brought it out, and we were seeing it. That this is not saying that these men are going to come in and say, I deny, and I want all of you to understand that Jesus Christ is not the Lord of heaven. You wouldn't listen to a guy like that for 5 minutes. I mean, for 2 seconds. The guy, you'd say, my God, he's an idiot. Somebody needs to get him off the stage. He's crazy. What's wrong with him? You wouldn't listen. That's not how they're going to introduce their destructive ways, and they're not doing that now. They are denying, mean the word deny also carries with it is to disregard. Or actually in the Greek, the word deny means to refuse. Part of its meaning is to refuse. They are refusing the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are denying him. They are refusing to follow the original teachings of the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the word says here that denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The word destruction here is the same word for damnable, same word in the Greek, which means, as I said before, ruin, loss, physically, spiritually, or eternally. And many, did everybody say this? Many. Say it again, please. Many. Many means a lot, okay? A lot of what we said was, this is not being taught to the world. This is taught in the church. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. And it's, I want to check here. Pernicious ways, it's the same word. Again, 3 times he uses the same word, damnable. It's the word pernicious means damnable. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, the way of truth is what we understand what. This sounds real preachy, but it's not. It's just sound teaching. Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. His words are the way in. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10. I am the door. I am he was 2 things in John chapter 10. He was the good shepherd and the door. He became the door, then he became the shepherd in which led his sheep in and out of the door. He is the good shepherd. He's also the door. Now the way, Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, no man comes to the Father except by me. The way of truth is everything that he began to say and teach, and then the apostles began to say and teach. And it says the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, they will begin to mock the way of truth. In other words, I told you earlier in these teachings weeks ago that there's already, by the understudies of some of these men whose names I mentioned, there's already an aggressive, I'm not talking about a terroristic kind of aggression, but a very sarcastic kind of aggression towards those who follow the teachings of what we would call the old way. What are some of those teachings? Well, one, just by example, is if you sin, you repent. Thank God that we can repent. Thank God that he's made a provision. Thank God if you do stumble, if you mess up, you can get back up. Your life's not over. Just repent. What they try to do is, this was last week's teaching, what they try to do is they try to figure out how to reconcile the horrendous battle between flesh and spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. They cannot, listen, as long as you live and breathe and have your being, you'll never be able to reconcile spirit and flesh. In other words, those two parties will never work together in unison and harmony. It says in Galatians chapter 5 that these two are warring against each other. There's a tremendous war. The only thing that you can do with flesh, that is your soul and unrenewed soul, the only thing you can do is kill it. And you can't kill it monthly, you have to kill it daily. Now, you can always repent and go back after a month, but it's easier to kill that sucker daily than it is to let it go for a few weeks or let it go for 6 months. But you can never, they try to take the fight out and say, look, rest easy, draw good breath, accept yourself the way you are, and there is no, God wants, doesn't want you to suffer. Peter says this, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The Lord wants us to know if we're going to go into His fullness, there is going to be suffering. What kind of suffering? Not physical. Not, I want to kill myself suffering. The suffering that is that debate, am I going to do what is right or am I going to do what is wrong? And okay, it's going to cost me. Oh, my flesh wants to do that. Oh, my flesh wants to, I'd like to cuss them out. Or I just like to find, I'm not going to say bad words, but I'm going to say something really giddy, funny, to get my sarcasm across, like I'm doing right now. It's gonna get my sarcasm across and let them know, oh, score one for me. And there will always be that fight. There will always, and when you harness that inward man, by the inward man, harness that guy and say, no, you're not saying a word. Well, they might not know. You're not saying a word. You can just go over here and set your pretty little self down and pray. You've just won, and that battle may come up in prayer. No, I'm going to go slap him. No, I'm just going to go slap him. No, I'm not going to slap him. Oh, I can see my hands around their throat. Hallelujah. When you sacrifice the gratification of your self-expressed life, whether that's sexually, whether that is in getting your rights put first into effect, whether that is telling the truth in love, whatever it is that you lay down your life and say, no, I'm going to respond out of the Spirit here and not out of the flesh, you have just suffered in the flesh. But you cease from sin when that suffering comes, when that suffering is brought to maturity. The grace message teachers, they want to reconcile those and say, look, you don't need to have that battle. Just accept yourself for the way you are. If you did cuss them out, it's okay. You don't even have to repent about it. Really, that's where they're at. And are they bringing disunity? Yes. So, Lord help us. We're going to get this. Okay. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words. Feigned words means molded, artificial, fictitious, false. They, it says here, with feigned words make merchandise. The word merchandise means to travel in or to be, I like this part, to be a peddler. They're merchandising. They're peddling this stuff. By implications, it means to trade or to buy or to sell or to make merchandise. And it says here, let's just go on, see how quickly we can get kind of towards the bottom of this. It says, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. In other words, those examples he just gave were for two parts, telling you how that he can deliver you, and also how that he will deliver others that do not these things of righteousness, how he will deliver them eventually into eternal punishment. They will be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. Chiefly, which ones? Chiefly them, verse 10, that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanliness and despise government. Now, for the sake of time, we don't have time this morning. Government there is not really best adequately, I should say, or we'd have to go in depth to tell you that that's not government necessarily as in the government that we think of government. It could probably be best in the context of this is authority. Authority. And these men have left the authority of God's Word. They have left the authority of God's Word. Presumptuous they are, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish with their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Now the word riot there too, you know, today we think of riot, we're watching riots all the time. That's not, this is internal. This is in the church. We're not seeing riots yet in the church, and that's not what it's talking about. We're not talking about external force coming in the church. It's talking about these guys producing a riot in the church. And the word riot, amazing, in the Greek means to break up. Figuratively, enfeeble, it means to enfeeble, especially the mind and body, by indulgence. It means to bring about necessarily a debauchery. Isn't that amazing? What it's saying here is their doctrine will produce a riot in the church. What is a riot? We just read out of the Greek, that's not this in the streets, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, blah. It's a separation and an enfeeblement, a separation, especially the mind and body. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't this 2017? We're watching it unfold. So it says here, as we continue on, spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast among you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken their right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, which loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds they are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. Now listen to this. If we come to any part, and if there's any crux here, if there's any conclusion that I want you to catch in today's message, it's verse 18. And I told you this is all foretelling. But it says, these men, let me just stop real quick. I will say this, and I will show you next week out of Jude. Do I believe that the men on whom I have mentioned by name are the exact fulfillment of 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude? No, I do not. I believe that they are present tense, a prelude. I believe that these men are in dangerous territory, and they are extremely dangerous in some of what they say to the body of Christ, infusing a poison that could bring forth, but I believe that they are first generation. And I believe, and what I'm saying, I believe, but I'm going to show you from Scripture the transition that is taking place, and that's best seen over in Jude, so I can't go there this morning, but I believe for the sake of these men, they're not yet the full fulfillment, but they are the beginning. They are definitely the beginning of these things that we're reading this morning. But verse 18 says this, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Now let's just stop right there. Now just stay with me just a few more minutes here. They allure. Do you know what allure means? Allure means to entice. They allure or entice. Now, like, you know, if I've got a trinket here, I can, if something, I'm looking at my wife's jewelry. I got a granddaughter, Aubrey. She loves jewelry. Boy, I can show her some jewelry, and I have enticed her. I can bring her over to sit on my lap in a moment's time. I can, but here he's describing an alluring means there is an enticing. By what manner is this enticing taking place? It says they are allured through the lust of the flesh. Now, it's talking about what these teachers are doing and what they're pulling on. They're alluring people. And what is the thing that they are using to pull people to themselves and entice people to listen to what they have to say? It is the residue of the flesh. You see, when you come into Christ, when you step across that threshold and you do the most simplest of things, which is to do what? Not join a church, not pledge your money, not say I'm going to be the best Christian ever, I'll never sin again. Salvation comes by this. The Romans tells us this. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, if we believe that and confess that on our part and say it and believe it, we shall be saved. And that is a personal, that's not just, that's a personal, I believe you did that for me. You hung there for me. You died and went down for me. You were raised up for me. Personally, I identify with that. My sins are forgiven. And the simplicity of that is if I confess that you did that for me and ask you to come into my life, I will be saved. It's just that simple. That's the threshold. That's the absolute threshold. But once you get in, this is a simple question, a rhetorical question. How many of you know that you come in with a lot of baggage? Your spirit is instantaneously renewed. Your flesh and your unrenewed soul comes in with a lot of baggage. It may take years for most of that baggage to fall off. It may take years for a lot of those strongholds. It's not necessary that it does, but it may take. He'll stay with us during that. Here's what the enemy does. He takes the knowledge that there is residue of flesh in people, and he takes the teaching that is misconstrued and runs after and seizes on that opportunity of the flesh that is not yet renewed and allures that flesh, as he says here, through much wantonness. In other words, he pulls on it. I used to have those little magna doodles. You know, those little, it was a magnet and there were shavings of iron or something underneath the plastic, and you could take that bald-headed man's, you know, face and you could give him a beard or you could give him a mustache, you know, because all you do is take and put the magnet close to the shavings of iron or metal and then pull it around and then lift it up and it falls down. Listen, the flesh parts of people's unrenewed life is what these guys go after, whether they're conscious of it or not. What attracts people is the unrenewed parts. It says here, it says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escaped from them who live in error. Those that are clean escaped. In other words, we were in error when we were in the world, were we not? But when you clean escape from it, it's not when somebody tells you about Christ. You cleanly escape from it the moment that you cross the threshold of the blood of Jesus. When you enter into the door, you have goodbye, sinful world, goodbye. You have clean escaped from the world. That's when you clean escape. That's what these guys, that's what this word is talking about. That's what this is dealing with. Those that have already been born again, they have cleanly escaped. They've gotten out of the world. But what is happening is something is coming after their flesh to allure them, to entice them. For if they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge, and it tells you right there, the knowledge of the Lord. Oh, no, I skipped something here. Well, it says, let me back up. What verse? 19. Let me just read 18 again. I just love it. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped who live in error. While they promise them liberty, is there not a promise of liberty through this message? I tell you what, if I didn't know what I know, I don't know what I know, but except through the grace of God and through the praying in tongues and meditation of the word. It's not me. I'm not that smart. I would, the flesh side of me would just love to go after this. If Dave Roberson hadn't have taught me and all of us how to pray in tongues, the chances of us being a hyper-grace church were probably way better than 50%. I'd have loved this message. I know I'd have loved it. I know my flesh would have loved it. Because the war is over. Once you had, we'd have probably gone that way. And you say, well, not me. I'd escaped it. No, if you'd have come and kept listening to me, you'd have followed me just right in the ditch just like anybody else. Y'all are independent of me, but you're a product of me as well. You just got to accept that. Every week that you listen, you're part and partisan of what I believe. So it says here, Peter says, they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. In other words, if you sit and listen to them long enough, you're overcome by them. They don't put shackles on your hands and feet. They overcome you in your mind, in your doctrine, and what they teach. You're overcome by them. And you come into that bondage. If they're in bondage, then you're in bondage because you become a part of it. If they have escaped the pollutions, verse 20 again, of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, our Savior, if they again are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, what is this saying? They're too quick. Wow, you're doing good. You're helping me. Come on, guys. Stand right here for just a moment. Let me explain this part. They're all set here for a second. The title message this morning was The Revolving Door. Now we come to this particular part of it, which is the crux. It's the, yes, here's the point of the whole message, is that this exemplifies that where these teachers are at in 2017 and what we're hearing is that there is, as we just said, an enticement, an allurement that pulls on the flesh. And this is pulling on the flesh of those who have escaped and have come in. But then we see, as we have just read this, that as a result of it, what it just said, and you got to get this, after they've escaped the pollution of the world, if they are entangled again therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The latter end. And it goes on to say this, for if it had been better, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, I'm thinking this. When is it ever better not to have been saved? That doesn't make sense, except in the context of this scripture. It's only never better to have been saved in the context of this, that someone, someplace, whether it's them guys or somebody else, introduces the door. How simple is the door? Believe on him and thou shalt be saved. you can enter the door. How many have seen revolving doors? Okay, you know what a revolving door? It's a huge glass or plexiglass. You see the fascia of a building. You're going to walk in. Big banks, big metropolitan centers have them. And they're just usually, I think it's clockwise, these big revolving glass doors. You're looking into the building. There's not a door necessarily just to step through. There's one in which you, these I'm describing for anybody that hasn't seen them, but I think everybody probably has here. They're probably star-shaped. They have a number of segmented doors that are full length to the height of the ceiling, and they revolve like this. They revolve. And they revolve at such a pace that it's easy for anyone to just step into any one of those envelopes and just follow it around the curvature of the revolving door and then step into the place that they want to be, which is inside the building. The door is Christ. The entrance is so simple. It's so simple that no doctrine is necessary. The only doctrine is necessary is that He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God, only begotten Son of God. When He came, He died for you. He's the only way. If you accept that death, burial, and resurrection and confess that, you will be saved. That's about as simple as it gets, man. I mean, you don't have to know nothing. Nothing. You can step in that door with just nothing. But once you get in that door, okay, if you guys will stand here, I'll step back. And whoever the leader is, okay, real slow. It's so easy for anyone to, I guess I'm on camera. I'm going to get here close to where I can, you guys can revolve. Now, this is not a perfect illustration yet. I'll try to perfect it. Not all of the illustrations are perfect. Slow down just a little bit. They stepped in, the door was here. They stepped into Christ with little or no knowledge. How simple is getting born again? Simple. Then once they came in contact with one of, let's say, if they were I don't want to say lucky, but unfortunate enough to get involved with a hyper/exaggerated grace message, what happens is they begin to be taught. I slow down and stop. I forgot this you've got to see. This is not a syringe, but I'm going to use this is a air pump, okay? But this morning it is becoming a syringe. I think it looks pretty kind of, it'd be pretty close to a syringe. Can you see that? It says that once, I'm going to paraphrase, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong later after service. It says that if these guys, once they come in, then they are allured through the unrenewed parts of their flesh. They are allured through the lusts of the flesh that have not yet been crucified and brought to Christ. In other words, the teaching appeals to that part of them. If they are overcome by that teaching, then they become in bondage to the one that in bondage to the one who has taught them that. Then it goes on to prophesy this, that these are those that have the potential to be as a dog that returns to its vomit. Do you know what the dog is? That's easy. That's real simple. The dog was the old you. That's who you were before you crossed the threshold of Jesus Christ. But he's emphatically saying that the dog that returns to her vomit, or the pig that returns to her wallow. Again, we got dogs and hogs. The pig is the old you. It was the old before Christ. But he's saying this has the potential, having followed out to its full poisonous potential, has the potential to bring you full circumspect, Now revolve real slow again. These guys enter in. They go right back out. Now this time don't. This is this. They come into Christ, and yet they went right back out. It may take years, but they went right back out. Now revolve again, please. The reason why is this. Jesus taught in, let me give you the scripture. We won't turn there because you're being a good audience. Matthew 6:22 and Luke 11:33. There are two corresponding scriptures. Jesus said this. He said, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I could teach a whole service on that. That sounds so paradoxical. If the light be darkness, how great is that darkness? But what Jesus was saying is, if what you have perceived and what you have been taught to be light, if it truly is darkness, how great is that darkness? Why? Because if I teach you something that inoculates you from future invasions of light, how great is that darkness? Because as long as you think that you're right, then you are guaranteeing yourself or inoculating yourself against the possibility of the truth getting involved and bringing down or delivering you over. What these guys are saying, and what is so powerful, it's really very descriptive here, is what he's saying here in 2 Peter is, as these guys come in, what they're being done is, now just slow down and stop for a second, just right there, because you're the next one out. What they're being done is, they're being inoculated, they're being given. Not only are, here's the two part, and if the words of Jesus are true, and how many of you know they are? If the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the pig is going to go back to its wallow, now it may take years, and I'm not saying that everybody that hears this message has this rotation in their life. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the potential is there, and Peter says it's there. This is how dangerous it is. It's absolutely this dangerous, that in this, once they get into Christ, easily they can cross the threshold, easily. Anybody in a coffee shop or any place on the job can get them in there. But if once they get in, they start listening to somebody on TV or someplace on a radio show, and they're already in Christ, and somebody begins to teach them a poison that could eventually say to them, look, you can sin and you don't have to repent. You can commit adultery and you don't have to repent. You can fornicate. You can live with that woman for the next 20 years as long as you, confess Christ. You're okay. When I do that, I syringe this full of poison. And I teach them things like, you're already in, so there's no need to repent. When I inoculate them with this, I not only begin to cause them to have a path out of Christ, but the most dangerous part is this. I am infusing them. Now you just walk right out of Christ. Come on around. Get your inoculation. Here we go. I'm inoculating you against truth so that the darkness that is in you is understood to you to be light. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now you just go right on out of Christ, and you come on around. Oh, you don't have to repent. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep just doing those sexual sins, and don't. This guy's not okay. This guy's not. Just stay at it. Just stay at it. And you just go out of Christ. The problem is this. We talk about the inoculation. It is true. The inoculation. Against error, and we're going to look at that in Jude. We understand that praying in tongues is the inoculation against error. This message is an inoculation against truth. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. Jesus said, if what you believe and what you'll fight for, bless God, hallelujah, this is truth. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? it puts a shield. Inoculation, obviously you understand inoculation is something that guarantees, it's a guarantor against a future disease. If I inoculate you with falsehood, boy, that's a horrible place. Because you'll fight, and then as long as you, look, people that backslide, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing things that shouldn't be done, but they're still his because it bothers them to pieces. It just, they're miserable. I know I'm doing that wrong, and my God, I'm scared I'm going to split hell wide open. Well, that fear is good. That fear is good. But once these guys revolve around and go out, and then they have no fear because they don't have to repent because they were inoculated with deception, you have just guaranteed their continual eternal judgment. And it's a horrible place to be. Is there hope? There is hope. We're going to get into hope next week. We've gone a long time, but you've been a good audience. Thanks a lot. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll have calling in the lost. We'll have confession. I'm asking all the intercessors that will to be here tonight. I want to present something a little bit different. It'll still be 6 to 8, and we'll be done at 8 o'clock. But please be a part of tonight's service. Father, we love you. We thank you for all of everything that we've been a part of today. We ask you to bless this time, bless these people, bless this day, and let these things stay in our heart, stay in our spirit. We thank you for the power thereof in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Praise God.